We are starting on page 918, the beginning of Parshas Maaseh. It is a double Parsha this week, Matos and Maaseh. We are going to do the first Pasuk of Maaseh. That's going to be interesting. So now, here's how we start Maaseh. Hebrew then English. Ela Maaseh b'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys of the children of Israel. Ashi Yotz Meretzai, they left Egypt. The Tzivaisam, according to the legions, we had Moshe Aaron. In the hands of Moses and Aaron. So, what it says is, on the first pasuk, let's read it again. These are the, and on the side, it says a summary of the journey. These are going to be the list of the places where the Jews traveled in the desert. And it starts out saying, these are the journeys. Elam, Masa, Ben Israel, she asked me at the time, the Jews who left Egypt. Biyad, Moshe, Aaron. Now, we don't normally do punctuation in this class, not our thing, but you should know that if you look at the first word and the second line on page 918, you got the wishbone. Do we call it the wishbone? It is the first pasuk. It would be 33:1. First pasuk of Parshas Maaseh is 33:1. The Tzivaisam is a wishbone, right under it. So is this wishbone thing, it means that the next three words are not tied to the word right before it. That's what it does. So when it says, these are the journeys of the children of Israel who went forth from the land of Egypt according to the legions under Moshe and Aaron, the word under Moshe and Aaron, in the hand, of Moshe and Aaron, and not necessarily going on the word back before that. Semicolon means that the next word could be on any part of that pasuk, which means, technically, how you read it, many read it, it goes on the first word of the pasuk. So what it does is, the semicolon tells you, take these last words, put on the first words, which means we're reading it this way. Eile Maaseh B'nei Yisrael. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, the Yad Moshe Aaron, as they traveled under the hand of Moshe and Aaron. That's what it says. These are the journeys of the children of Israel. Close the door, you did there. These are the journeys of the children of Israel under the auspices of Moshe and Aaron. Now, for some reason, I'm about to ask you a question. I don't know why no one asked this question until the Aruch Haim HaKadosh in the 1600s. I can't answer this. But there's this question. Who led the Jews in the desert in the travels? Moshe. What do you mean in the hands of Moshe and Aaron? What did Aaron do? Did Aaron lead the Jews on the travels? I don't. Did we miss something in the last 918 pages?
Well, he came in second here, Moses and Aaron.
Yeah, I don't mind him coming in second, but the question, why is he second at all? If you would have to say, who led the Jews in the desert from place to place? What's your answer? Moses. You know what it says here? Moses and Aaron. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh asked this question. Again, mind-blowing why he's the first one to ask this. Now, it seems, the reason no one else asked this question, I'm making this up. That's the only assumption. Is that they didn't go with this wishbone theory of mine. And what they did was, they were saying they left Egypt under Moshe and Aaron. That's not so wild. But how did the Jews leave Egypt? Moshe and Aaron, okay, that makes sense. Why? First of all, Aaron wasn't leaving the Jews in Egypt for X amount of years until Moshe came back. He left 40 years, maybe only in Midian. It depends how you learn the Pesukim. I mean, he became an adult. We discussed this a few while back. You don't learn this in SAR. He became an adult. That's what it says. You assume adult is 13. All right. That's the assumption. And when I thought, look for his people, he saw A hitting B. Say, hey, wait, hey, why are you hitting B? Oh, yeah. You're gonna kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And then he's on trial and he runs away. The assumption would be in kangaroo court, in Egyptian courts, wasn't exactly like in America, where you could have lawyers and put injunctions and all types of stuff, and you could delay a court case for 17 years. No. In Egypt, like in Nazi Germany, the trial happens in about 4 minutes. And you're always guilty. So, Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitri. He gets snitched upon. He's got to run away. Logic would assume 13. Logic would assume 13. If you want to extend it, you can play games, maybe 20, but odds are 13. Moshe Rabbeinu returns at what age? 80. That's 67 years. 67 years, he disappeared. Who was leading the Jews for 67 years? No, Amram was there for a while. Amram was leading the Jews. So when you want to talk about the Jews in Egypt, leaving Egypt, I can't go crazy when you say Moshe and Aaron. They were the leaders in Egypt. Aaron was many, many years. And the Moshe showed up and usurped the power, which Aaron are coming to allow. But when you're talking about traveling in the desert, in most of the book you're going to look at, it's highly unlikely. Not against Aaron. I'm not speaking negative against him. But it's highly unlikely you're going to see an open passage somewhere that says that Aaron was leading the Jews in their journeys from place to place. That's what we're talking about. Ela Maaseh B'nei Yisrael means these are the journeys, means they're going from place to place. So even if Aaron was doing great stuff, he wasn't leading them from place to place. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Go.
Maybe the forward clouds were in the merit of Aaron. So when Aaron died, those forward vanguard clouds of glory were gone.
Brilliant answer. Just to repeat it. Don't embarrass the kid you're way ahead of me. Answer number two. We didn't do our time picture. Answer number two is going to be that in order when the Jews traveled in the desert, they had clouds, as we know from a couple of weeks ago, reading about it, that lowered the mountains. I don't know if the word lower is the right word, raised up the ditches and led the way and told them where to go. And every time they had nowhere to go, they looked up and said, where are the clouds going? We follow the clouds. I think that you said, and the clouds came in the merit of Aaron HaKohen. So the clouds came in the merit of Aaron HaKohen, and the clouds were the GPS, then you could say the Jews in the desert, which were sojourned, if that's even a word, had their journeys through Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron was the physical human being. Aaron represented by the clouds of glory, which worked. Excellent, excellent, by the way. Holy answer, not given by too many, but I found the holy rabbi says it. And now we have another guy called Chaskel Bender that said the same thing. That the Aaron represented this passage means the clouds of glory. That, remember, three things in the desert. Mon, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Well of Miriam, that's the name of it, by the way. We discussed once why she gets the name and the other ones don't. Check out rabbihubbard.com somewhere. And the third one was the clouds that were Aaron. So the clouds, I mean, how do we know the clouds of Aaron? Because when Aaron died a few weeks ago, he didn't die a few weeks ago, you know what I'm saying? When we read it a few weeks ago that he passed away, the clouds disappeared. Because the clouds were from Aaron. I'll see why that answers a couple questions in a second. We're going to have the Arachaim question. Because right now, so far, we have the Arachaim brothers asking this question. What is Aaron doing at the end of this passage? Our parasha. Ela, Masse. These are the sojourns, Biad Aaron, Moshe. Arachaim HaKadosh asks the question. Arachaim HaKadosh gives a wild answer. We're going to see potentially at least four questions on the Arachaim HaKadosh. And then Chaskel's answer might answer. Then we'll give other answers. That was a lot. There goes slowly. Arachaim HaKadosh says, when the Jews traveled in the desert, you know what they had to do to travel? They had to take the binoculars and see where the clouds are. That wasn't enough. You know what else they had to do when they had to travel? They had to listen, not only their eyes, with their ears, for the sound of the trumpets. Do you remember that? The trumpet sound was a horn to start the race. Rodeo, flashbacks. So now, Arachaim HaKadosh says these words. Aaron HaKohen blew the trumpets. That means on some level, he was the person holding the flag and saying, go! So since he was the one saying go, the Pasuk is referring to that. Arachaim HaKadosh says that Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was leading them everywhere they had to go, but Aaron was part of the travels because he was the go sign. That's Arachaim HaKadosh on this Pasuk, first Pasuk 33:1 in Parashas Matzah.
Moses convinced anyone to blow the show, the
trumpets. Okay, it doesn't matter. In the end, who's the one who said go?
Except also the trumpets, not trumpet.
Oh, the classical 2 for 2 tonight. Some makes it look smarter. The question is that true, by the way, Arachaim HaKadosh? Does it say anywhere, that Aaron HaKadosh blew the trumpets? Doesn't say anywhere. And by the way, Chaskel pointed out, trumpets. I don't know if it's even possible. Is it possible? Is it like, if you go on YouTube with some weirdo doing two trumpets simultaneously, is that possible? I don't know about trumpet. I don't know how to blow a trumpet at all, personally, but it would be very unlikely. Very unlikely. I don't know if I was standing and blowing two trumpets. More than that. That's just a question. It's three questions in one. Then we'll get the three other questions. Did Aaron HaKohen blow the trumpets? That would be strange. Does it say anywhere Aaron HaKohen blew a trumpet at all? Was he one of the two? Or when we talk about the trumpets, and we go to chapter 10 in Bamidbar, Pasuk Beis, wrong, chapter 10, Pasuk 8, which would be page 782, 783. We'll read the English. English says, Pasuk 8, the sons, plural, of Aaron, the Kahanim, shall sound the trumpets. In Hebrew, we'll do it anyway. Ubnei Aaron, according to talk about the The Torah seems to openly state that Aaron did not blow the trumpets. His children blew the trumpets. So first of all, Aaron, as we said, trumpets, plural, and it doesn't even seem like Aaron was even one of them. So Rabbi Arachaim Bechil's Koifa, you know, we don't want to sound condescending to Arachaim because that would be wise, but he says a fast, and he does, by the way, Arachaim because doesn't need a source. He's bigger than me. I'm saying he could have sources that I'll never find in a billion years. He's reading into these words and codes I can't figure out. But Arachaim because says, how do we get to Aaron HaKohen? Aaron HaKohen blew the trumpets. The later commentators ask, wait a second. Number one is that we don't know anywhere we came up with this. Number two, we have an open passage that says his children blew it. Number three, it's plural, so I don't know, give someone else the nod. say Moshe Aaron and man number two with the trumpets. Second of all, they want to say on this answer, Aaron according to the trumpets, we're discussing in this week's parasha all of the travels. In fact, it starts off by the next pasuk saying, in pasuk three, they journeyed from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day. We're discussing the moment they left Egypt. When we discuss the travels that Moshe and I were in charge of, we're discussing the travels that began the moment they left Egypt. Trumpets when they left Egypt. Trumpets weren't created for another year. So even if you want to say trumpets, not so clear, but when you're reading it, it would imply that all of the travels Aaron was involved with. And if Aaron was only involved when he gets the bow to trumpet, it ain't fair. And for the same question in reverse, Aaron wasn't the last journey. He died, and then there were several other journeys. So when you're listing all the journeys, you got a problem with the beginning, no trumpets yet. And the problem at the end, how did Aaron lead them all the way when he wasn't there the last 8 to 10 of the travels? So he could have led them all the way. When you read the puzzle and the Jews were traveling, Aaron, it doesn't seem to make some sense. That was three of the questions. And the fourth question was on the same puzzle as before. But I said before 10-2, what does 10-2 say? That's if I remember the question. What was that, 780 what? 785. Wrong. What did I say it was? 782 and 783. Oh, look at this Rashi here. Oh, we don't have the Rashi here. Let me read the puzzle. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, make for yourself two silver trumpets. Make them hammered out. We don't care. Next. When you assemble them, when they sound a long blast, the entire assembly shall come to you. And Rashi here says, when you start going through it, there's a whole bunch of different events that occur. And Rashi says like this. Nimtzis, this is the Rashi in 10-2 in Baal HaYischa, who short, Rashi says, Nimtzis, you find, Al pi shloisha hayanos. The Jews traveled in the desert based on three things. One, Al pi Hashem, God led them, which appears probably to be the clouds, or God instructing the other one. Al pi Moshe, yeah. Al pi chatzotris on the trumpets. He doesn't say Aaron. Now again, you could say Al karachayim, but chatzotris, the trumpets meant Aaron. You had the wrong questions. Or you could say Al pi Hashem meant clouds, which includes Aaron. But Rashi, when he says how they traveled in the desert, doesn't seem to say the word Aaron. Rashi says God, Moses, trumpets. So in a way, we're reversing, saying, okay, Rashi, how are you going to explain this pasuk here that says Aaron? So again, we could say, like we said earlier, you could read the pasuk without the wishbone and say that what it meant was when they were leaders in Egypt. In Egypt, Aaron was a leader. Doesn't read as well, but it's possible to read. Yes.
What does the Rashi say on that?
You saw the Rashi?
He says on the third Rashi, he says,
that means Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to use the trumpet.
No one else.
Exclusively in English.
Possible. Excellent. That would be the iron for sure. That's right. I'm going three lines further than that, but excellent point. At this point, just so the crowd could hear it, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu might have blown the trumpets. That's a measure. We don't go down that road. Moses had special rights. Moses built the trumpets from his own stuff. That's why we have discussed this in the past, that anything that Moshe Rabbeinu built for eternal was not taken by the non-Jews, and it still exists. Raiders of the Lost Ark, because Moshe Rabbeinu was involved with the Ark. But we also can go Raiders of the Lost Trumpets, Raiders of the Lost Mishkan, the Tabernacle. Anything Moshe Rabbeinu touched, non-Jews never got their hands on. Because Moshe Rabbeinu represents the characteristic of eternity. Netzach. Can't go into that Hasidic stuff now, but that's anything he touched was eternal. Eternal. That's why if Moshe Rabbeinu would have entered into the land of Egypt, into the land of Israel, the Jews would never have been destroyed. That's the famous thing. That's why it was good Moshe Rabbeinu died, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to build a temple that would have been destroyed. Someone else built the temple. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the temple, it couldn't have been destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu represents eternal. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu gives us the Torah, it's eternal. Maybe we'll get back to this class on Hanukkah one time. It's irrelevant to Hanukkah also. But not for now. Our question back to reality. Quick recap. The pasuk says Aaron. It could be going on two things. It can be going on who led the Jews out of Egypt. Maybe Aaron. Or it could be going on the travels. We don't like that. Answer number one of the travels could be trumpets. We have many questions on that. Answer number two, or classical bender was that Aaron meant the clouds of glory that did lead them in the travels. Answer number three. We'll do three and four. Three is this. We started saying before that Aaron was the leader of the Jewish nation for X amount of years while the Jewish nation were enslaved. And then his younger brother shows up. And the Torah tells us that he was genuinely happy. Genuinely, when the Torah says someone's happy, it means genuine. There's no other way around. So Moshe Rabbeinu shows up and it says he was happy. He didn't mind. He was selfless and realized for the greater good, let's get the Jews out of here. Like most of our politicians today. All they care about is the people, not about themselves at all, ever. And it says like this. So here it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I don't want, it said that when Aaron came back, hold on. Okay. Cut these 2 seconds out. It says he saw him and he was happy. I'm not going to go find it. Here it is. Here it's where it says that Aaron will be the Levi. Where does it say that he was happy? Okay. So, we're not going to do it now. Fine. Cut that whole thing out. Sorry. But Aaron had a job to do. And what happens is his younger brother shows up with no fighting, no jealousy, genuine happiness. He turns around and he hands the keys of the kingdom over to Moshe. In a way, we can say that at that point in time, he educated and taught Klal Yisrael that the leader is going to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Which is possible to say, from here on forth, any time the Jews are following Moshe, Aaron gets credit. Because you're only following Moshe because I set the system up that I gave up everything for Moshe Rabbeinu. I gave the keys of the kingdom over to him. And you're doing that because you're following me. I was the leader. I handed it over. So on some level, Aaron will always get credit for the Jews following Moshe. So even though, of course, literally it means the Jews followed Moshe in the desert, but by the way, don't forget that that was based on Aaron's lead. Aaron's lead helped the Jews follow Moshe. Now for a more mussary, wild one. And hopefully, as I said it a few times tonight, there's another class we'll eventually get back to, God willing. Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to learn about, is told he cannot enter the land of Israel. A couple weeks ago. And a couple weeks from now, we're going to learn that Moshe Rabbeinu prayed 515 prayers to get into the land of Israel. He was trying. 515 prayers means 500 different ways and arguments of why he deserves to be there. You know who else didn't go to the land of Israel? Aaron. How many prayers do we find that Aaron said? Zero. What? I mean, sarcastically, did Aaron not want to enter Israel? Seriously, all three of the leaders of the desert generation died in the desert. So now, those leaders died in the desert. Why didn't Aaron pray? Eventually we'll get back to the different answers. But one answer is from the Holy Rebbe of Radomsk, where I got to go to his grave a couple months ago for the first time. He says that Aaron's characteristic, like when his children died, by Yidam Aaron, is always quiet. Aaron never spoke, never complained. Everything was for the good, if that's the phrase. Anything that happened to him was right away, of course. Never second doubting, never saying, what if? Didn't exist in Aaron's vocabulary. His two sons died? No reaction. His brother, younger brother took over? Good. Everything rolled off. Everything rolled off. So it could be that Aaron's leadership for 80 years, whatever it was teaching the Jews to rely on God. Whatever your plans are, he's got a better one. Whatever you're thinking, it's a better one. You're behind schedule, not his schedule. You're right on schedule. We're all right on schedule. Right where we belong, you said, Jeff. Sitting in this class on a Tuesday night, half asleep. That's where you belong. Everyone is where they belong, Eliezer. Aaron started that concept. And he lived it. Now it came into the desert. Came into the desert. Now, what they got to do in the desert? They got to travel. When? I don't know. Whenever the clouds start moving. How long are we here for? Should we unpack? I don't know. Should we open the dresser and put the stuff out of the suitcase? I lived in a suitcase for 3 years in Israel. My roommate will tell you. Never unpack. It's a mistake. Now I'm living like I want to live in Israel. But back then, you got a camp. Are you unpacking? It depends where you are. How long do we stay for? No idea. Right? Are we here for a day? Are we here for a week? Rashi says it right in the beginning here. Some places they were there a long time, some places a short time. That's hard to travel that way. You know what that means? It's brilliant that a friend of mine told me. I'm going to send him this tape. Maybe send me this extra clip separately. He always tells me. It says by Aram Avinu, Lech Lecha, leave your land. Didn't say where to go. That's one of the great tests. He didn't tell me where to go. So a friend of mine always tells me, one of the beauty of GPS, when the GPS says you'll get there in an hour because it's 18 minutes of traffic, okay, 18 minutes of traffic, I'll sit in traffic. When you got no GPS working, like we did in the old days, we pulled out our hair and we're sitting in traffic and we don't know if we're in traffic. Is it 1 minute? Is it 18 minutes? Is it 2 hours? I have no idea. Because no one thought of making Waze yet. I thought of making Waze for years, by the way. And what's that guy's name? Stephen Wright used to always say, imagine you could have the forecast on the traffic for the next 5 days. He meant we thought of it first. So you're sitting in your car, you're going crazy. You don't know how long you'll be there for. Not easy to drive that way. The Jews were in the desert without GPS. They have no idea. Am I staying? Am I not? Aaron told them, you are exactly where you belong. What are you looking for the next place? You belong to tonight in my class. There's no plan B. Right in, where you belong. That mindset permeated into the whole Klal Yisrael. He was their leader. So when they're in the desert traveling, that's that mindset. So when the Jews were led in the desert by Moshe and Aaron, of course Moshe was leading. You know, Aaron led them, not the flag saying go, not the, you know, Aaron led them that every place they got to, he was saying in Yiddish, ich bin du, I'm here. That's where I got to be. So the way they were capable of traveling in the desert for circling around for almost 40 years was with the mindset, I'm exactly where I belong. That they learned from Aaron. That was the test in the desert. The test was, are you going to follow God without knowing the plan? Through Aaron, they learned yes. Hopefully, we take these lessons. We are where we belong. And as you did, you said, we wait for Mashiach and we're there to celebrate Tisha B'Av with a festive meal. In Israel from the kachim and the sacrifices.